Well, I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News, Helene Shira. Welcome.
Thank you.
We're in your lovely building, the PS Art Space, at the corner of Pakenham and Leake Streets in the centre of Frio, in the west end of Fremantle.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful here, isn't it?
Isn't it? It's wonderful.
When did you first come to this place that we are sitting in on the second floor?
Or well,
on the first floor, depending on how you define floors.
It was an awful long time ago, in fact. 27 years ago. Makes me feel very old. I walked up here as an art student looking for an artist studio, which I had heard about back at the art school. At the time, I heard about it on the grapevine, and they were saying, oh, there's studios down there in Fremantle, you should go and investigate. So I walked up the stairs and I found this amazing old building with, you know, a lot of space, wooden floors, was empty.
What was actually happening with it at that stage?
Well, as I found out, it was leased by shipping providors who were brothers, Italian brothers, who were supplying the ships with their goods. And really, they only used a very small proportion of the space. So a couple of the artists got together and questioned them and asked them if we could, you know, perhaps rent some of their spare space. And they said, yeah, that's a good idea. And they decided to sublet to artists, and we built a business out of it. But of course, I got into it because I got into conversation with another artist who was rather entrepreneurish. That was James Paris, and he got the ball rolling there, and we built all these studios.
Things developed then with James's involvement and yours, and it just became an art space at that point, did it? I mean, the providors left, and you just had artists working
yes.
here?
Well, I think by 1997, the shipping people left, and we had control of the whole building because we ended up buying the building as well. I mean, obviously we had to get loans to do this at the time, and but it also wasn't that expensive in those days. It was, you know, on on the current market, it would be extremely cheap for what we paid.
So you inherit, in one sense, we'll come back to the original owners, this big building space, sort of a warehouse in so many ways, with office space within it. And what was your dream then when you and James Paris started to move forward? What did you want to achieve with the building?
Well, I think we just wanted to help artists out who were basically mainly congregating in Fremantle, because that was the art world in those days, and it still is in Perth. So we wanted to provide affordable space for artists, which was clean and, you know, not rough and tumble and, you know, as we imagine artists do live. I mean, still it was quite bohemian in those days, but we wanted it to be a space where they could interact with other artists and share their ideas, have a community feeling, and actually be able to exhibit their works on the floor in the same building, which is what we did, because it's such a huge space. And it still is an art gallery at the moment.
Well, it is. And we're going to talk in a little while about this big weekend that's coming up with two exhibitions, including some of your work, as well as the artists' spaces being open for people to come and see what they do here. Were there many exhibition areas in Fremantle when you arrived here? Places where artists could actually hang their work, open an exhibition?
I'm not. When I first arrived here, I was so much involved, I really wasn't thinking outwardly, but I can't remember too many spaces. I know there's the Moores building down the road, but I'm not sure.
Well, that had to be changed and done, didn't
much
it?
Later, yeah, yes. I think. Not in the 90s when I was here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think in those days a lot of artists used to display their works on cafe walls. That was a thing we did.
Well, was it?
Yes.
And what sort of materials did you use? Were you painting in paint, oil, crayon?
Well, obviously for the cafe walls, yes. It would have been either watercolours or acrylic paint or oil paint in those days. It still can be, but... that was a typical material. I was going to say that with the Artists Community Corporation, we also wanted to integrate as many types of art, including, you know, craft, craft work, sculpture, graphic designers, all kinds of arts coming together under one roof, which was part of our plan in those days. I think it worked quite well. By 1997, we had that idea happening. And we did have a mix of all sorts of disciplines under the same roof.
Now, at some point, probably around about then, was it, you become the sole operator of the business in the building?
Well, that happened much later because there was a lot of phases on the way. But James Paris worked here as long as he could with me until he got a bit ill and he was moving on. You know, he was quite a bit older than me too. So he decided to retire in 2011. And that's when I had this whole thing on my shoulders and I was thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do? I've got to get a manager here. It's a big responsibility. So fortunately, I got in contact with Tom Müller through one of the lady artists who's resident here. And that was almost a godsend. Well, it was a godsend for me because I really didn't know what Tom was all about completely at that time. But he really is a multi-talented artist and in many ways connected to all the community and a very wide, extensive way with... he's a people person, definitely.
This building, when you stand outside, I'll put a photograph up with the story of what the building looks like out here today, and many people know it well anyway. And I'll also put up a photograph of the building from much earlier in the 20th century. And it doesn't look a lot different, does it?
No, it doesn't.
This is when Patterson's were here in this photo.
Exactly, and I mean that... That was one reason why the Heritage Council was interested in it, because it's worthy of preserving. It's pretty much kept all its original features and it hasn't changed much and hasn't been altered much, which is also a very interesting thing for heritage.
And I think it was in the area, Mr. Quinlan who built the building first.
Yes, well, the original owner was Timothy Francis Quinlan was his name, and he acquired the land actually in the early 1900s, probably around 1901-1902, and 1903-4 was when the building, the warehouse, was built on it. But before that, it was just two little cottages across two lots. That's what I understood was there, two little houses that were also leased by him.
Because the Fremantle lots, I think, weren't all that big, so you'd need a couple of lots to build something as big
as this. Absolutely. So this building has been built across two lots, exactly.
Yes.
So Patterson & Co. came onto the scene, and they possibly might have had some influence in the building of the warehouse.
Yes.
I believe. Yes. In the beginning, they would have, you know,
worked they were the first
with,
tenants,
with the architects.
Were they?
Yeah, they were the first tenants, so they might have worked with the architects and builders as to what they wanted in it. So they would have spoken and cooperated with the architects.
And do I get the impression, Helene, that 100 years or so after it was built, you finish up buying out the remaining Quinlan interests in the property?
Yeah.
Isn't that a wonderful sequence?
I really think... I always had a direct pathway about this place. I said it had to be preserved. I believed it had to be preserved because it was such a wonderful piece in the west end of Fremantle. And I thought I've got to hang on to it and be a caretaker in that sense.
Yes.
So that it doesn't go to somewhere else where it doesn't, I don't want it to go. So it doesn't go to the building developers or, you know. From my point of view, because it's part of heritage, that is very interesting. It's great when the public can walk in here and see it. If I had let it go to some developer who'd cut it up into student apartments or private apartments, that's not always accessible to the public. So the public can still walk into the building now and see what it looks like from the inside and outside in its original form. Essentially, it's still very much in its original form and nothing has changed.
Let's just talk a little bit about that and also what's going to be happening this weekend where the public can walk in and see a good part of the building.
Yes.
First of all, you've got a number of artists, creative people working here and they each have their studios. Is that right?
That's right, they have studios.
And about how many people are we talking about?
Well, we have, at this point in time, we have 36 studio spaces, and some of them are a group of people in one studio, so they have subtenants. So there might be 36 to 45
people
in the building.
If they all turn up.
Yeah, but they're never here at one time, and they've got 24-hour access, so you know they can come in their own hours.
And what sorts of things are people working on?
Well, at this point in time, in 2020, we've got a lot of graphic and media work. We've got some filmmakers. We've got we've actually got about 30% architects in the building, which is great. We have one architect, Nathan Steele, who's been here for pretty much, I'd say, 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. We have some artists who I could only quote one or only one at this point who's been here since the beginning, and that is Jeff Wake. He's been the longest standing resident artist right from the beginning. He hasn't moved from his space.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it's really amazing to be able to say that. We've had a couple of other older ladies who had to move out because they couldn't walk up the stairway anymore.
Oh.
They had bad knees and hips. One of them was Dot Imgrund. She only left us last year, and she was about, I think she was 75 or, you know, close to, she was 75 years old.
Mm.
And she was also very, very hardworking, persistent artist, always there in her space, and never wanted to leave. It was very sad for her to leave.
Yeah.
The types of artists, you asked me?
Yes.
We have mostly painters at this point, or we always did have painters. It's great to have painters. As I said, the architects and the graphic people, I think that's the most, I'd say that the best way to describe the group.
Now, over this Saturday and Sunday coming up, the studios are open. That's one of the features of what's happening. And what will people be able to do in relation to that?
Well, for open studios, it means literally what it says. You can, over those 2 days, studios will be open from, I think it's from 10 to 4. I hope I'm right.
I think you are.
So all of the artists who, most of them have chosen to open their studios up. So you can walk up the stairs or go downstairs and walk straight through the door and speak with the artist personally and talk about their work. Most of them will have some work hanging perhaps in their own studio. So that's a way to make contact directly with what artists do in their studios.
You might be able to commission a work.
That too, yeah, absolutely.
And then on Friday night in the downstairs gallery, there's an exhibition opening, and at the same time there's also one opening in the upstairs gallery.
Yes.
Now, tell us about what's happening, Helene, down in the downstairs gallery on Friday night.
Well, in the downstairs area, we've got an exhibition between two artists. That's myself and Ursula Kieliger, who's a Swiss lady with whom I have a great friendship. She's the one who introduced Tom Müller to me, who had managed this space for 8.5 years. She does acrylic paintings, and my work is very different because my exhibition is retrospective, in the sense that I've done a lot of life drawing in the past. So
you've got to go into the attic to get it all out, have you?
Yes, exactly. I had to dig it up. And again, I have to thank Tom Müller for that, because he asked me to do that. He encouraged me to do that. So yes, we've got two contrasting styles in one space. So I don't think that's ever been done so much before. So this could be
a new trend. We know which is you and we'll
So yes, we've got abstraction and representative art in one space, and there's a lot of work. Upstairs we also have a young tenant who's just come to be with us recently. Her name is Gemma, and she also does life drawing, and she does portraiture. But I think, yeah, it's similar kind of artwork to mine, but in painting. She does painting. She's painted the works in oil and in acrylic.
I've never been able to work out which space I like best, upstairs or downstairs, because
yes,
they're quite different, aren't they?
They are. I agree. It's good to have two diverse spaces. Downstairs is much bigger, and upstairs is more intimate. So, yes, certain kind of work works better upstairs, like this lady, Gemma. And Downstairs, it's better for larger artworks, I think, you know, bigger pieces, perhaps.
And
also installations and everything. I mean, downstairs is very versatile.
You have a rock band downstairs.
Music events, exactly. Music events, well, we do have that happening on the Sunday afternoon of this weekend coming up.
That's the way the weekend is going to be finishing, even though those two exhibitions upstairs and downstairs go on for a couple of weeks. What's happening on Sunday evening then?
Sunday evening is a concert that comes under the name of Hemispheres. Hemispheres is what we have organised for musicians over the last few years since Tom Miller was here. The name of the musician is Glenn Rogers, I believe.
It is.
And he's a guitarist. And I think he'll be very popular. We've already had a lot of bookings for him. That will take place from 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Now, do you need to book and get a ticket for that, or is that something you can walk into?
It's better to book ahead.
Because there are still, presumably, rules about how many you can have in.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
Yes.
We do have limited space, you know, for the downstairs area. We have a limited capacity, but, you know, I think that should be okay. But it's better to get a ticket in advance, but you could still buy one at the door.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Now, good luck with the weekend.
Well, thank you.
Is that something that you're planning to do regularly, to have, say, every few months a weekend where there's a number of things happening?
We don't have any big plans, but it could be a good idea. Open studios we've done before, and they generally are quite successful. So we will definitely do that again.
Yes.
Open studios. Often we have fusion events, which involves music and art exhibition at the same time. That's also a lot of fun. I suppose the world is open. The door's open to anything. In these spaces.
When the Fremantle Biennale was on, Tom, of course, was both here and helping to, the moving force behind that. But there were a lot of really interesting events that happened downstairs.
Yes, in the Biennale we had various events, and that was 2 years ago now. Mm. Time goes so fast.
Doesn't it? It flies. It's not too far away again, hopefully.
Yeah, we've had theatre, we've had music, we've had poetry, we've had installations. Mm. All kinds of things. Everything's possible in the art world.
So, just going back to something you've commented on about sort of the art life, the art world of Fremantle, I think it probably is known to people more broadly, not just in Perth, but around the country, as a place where you'll find artists of all sorts, all sizes, all descriptions. Is that your experience?
Of Fremantle?
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah,
has it definitely diminished in any way, or is there room to promote this aspect of Fremantle in the future?
Art life.
Yes, and artists in Fremantle. Are there enough exhibition spaces?
I think there are more exhibition spaces now, for sure. Ours is one of them. I believe ours is one of the most popular ones. But there's a Moores building down the road I know of. And, I mean, of course, there's the Aboriginal artist Chapinka down the road on High Street.
Yes.
That I love. Every time I go up there, I really love it. I would love to have Aboriginal artwork in this place. But at the same time, I'm thinking, well, I want to, you know, keep the business in the right spot. And what he does down the road is fantastic.
It's so magnificent, the work hanging there, the colours and the like. It's hard to walk by, isn't it?
I definitely recommend Chapinka. Yes, well, Fremantle has been a place for artists. I've always loved it, and also very alternative people, if anything, but also normal people. I shouldn't use that term. Also, just general community of all kinds.
Yes, young people, non-artists.
Non-artists.
I think everybody, though, Elaine has an artistic bone or three in their body waiting to be explored.
I would like to just say, back in the 90s and, the late 80s and 90s, I always remember Fremantle full of... Back then, we used to talk about the Orange People.
Yes.
They were a very alternative community.
There's a film to be shown over some 5 hours in the Revelation Film Festival at Lynra on Essex soon.
Good.
Devoted to the Sunyasins in Fremantle. And if you go into the Shipping News, you'll discover an interview with Joseph London, who's produced this documentary. So it's reviving a little bit of old Frio. Now tell me, that's all 30 and 40 years ago, the orange Fremantle. But what about in the future? What do you hope for this space, Pierce?
Well, I would hope that it would always be an open place for artists, for artists to thrive and to live and to make their works, because that's always been my dream and I've stuck with it. I've never moved left or right. I've got a straight road there. Mm. That's my dream for the place.
Well, that's just
hopefully the new whoever the custodians are after me, yes, will stay on that road.
Yes, well, I do hope so. It's lovely that under your initiative it's been heritage listed in the way it has been.
Yeah.
Oh, well, look, have a fabulous weekend. Good luck with your exhibition.
Yeah, thank you.
And we hope that the public generally come along to have a look at everything. And if there are any creative people out there who are looking for studio space,
definitely,
they should get in touch.
Should get in touch, yep.
Brilliant.
Definitely. We'll keep your name and keep you on the waiting list. And the spaces are popular, but we do have people leave every now and again. So there are spaces available. It's a great place to work.
Yeah, it feels brilliant. Yeah. Thanks very much for meeting.
Thank you too.